prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
One, two, three.
Good love. Good love. Good love. Good love.
I want a feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor,
doctor,
Mr. MD,
doctor,
now can you tell me?
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Frank, the weekend's almost here. Are you ready for that? I am. No, am I? We've got a great show. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. For the first part of the Herb Talk show, we're going to be talking about this study, what they found out about the vaccine passports. Mm-hmm. We have stuff to talk about that and some other stuff in our quack report, which is a pretty good sized quack report tonight, Frank. But before we get into all that good stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. Seeking the Lord's face, mind the time, because it grows short. Today's devotional puts us in 1 Samuel 12. It says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. Absolutely, he gave up his only begotten son for us. That's an invitation. I hope you take it. Mind the time, it grows short, because Lord Jesus is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Do we have quackers, Frank? I didn't hear
them.
Quackers are a little sleepy today. Okay. Well, first up at the Quacker, guess what? More states are signing up for what is considered a kind of a vast vaccine passport, if you will. While everybody's distracted by what's going on with Russia and the Ukraine, this is getting slid in faster and faster. And we're going to talk more about this in the first part of the show. But be aware that the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico and some other U.S. states are on board with vaccine passports. And you may be surprised at how this is being all contrived and put together and where we are currently with that. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. Moving along in the Quacker, here's a report from England. It says the fully vaccinated make up 90% of the COVID fatalities. So the UK Health Security Agency came out with a 8-week report that included COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, deaths from January 24th to February 22nd. So they said the people who have been vaccinated with the mRNA COVID vaccine make up 90% of the fatalities in England. A shocking 80% of those fatalities occurred in people who have been vaccinated 3 times with the spike protein mRNA COVID shot. The data was taken from the UK Health Vaccine Surveillance Report. There you are with that. Moving along in the Quack Report, common pain relievers, they say, can weaken immune system. And, you know, make you weaker against infectious disease. This is scientists at the University of Sydney, Australia. They were investigating immune response that may be linked to Tylenol, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, like ibuprofen, opioid analgesics, and so forth. And what their findings were kind of mixed, but overall they said that when you take this stuff, it makes you more vulnerable to being ill. They said one of the problems is that the widely used medicines like Tylenol, ibuprofen, corticosteroids, prednisone, they've been around a long time, decades, and people have used them. They consider them to be safe, but they do impact the immune system, and that has been under-recognized, according to their report. So keep that in mind. Aspirin is also on the list. It does lower fever, so it shuts off your antibodies. Last but not least in the Quack Report, globalists push for programmable central bank digital currencies. This was a Canadian Parliament has approved their Prime Minister Trudeau's motion to make the Emergencies Act there, move them with broader authority into the introduction of what is called a CBDC digital transaction, cryptocurrency. When did you hear about that, Frank? Oh, yeah. So they can turn anybody off. They get all mad at them. Can't have your money. Can't do nothing. So that's where that's headed. And we all know that. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Sorry, Frank, I had my button pushed in. That bloody button. Okay, let's talk about what the study is found on vaccine passports. They say, get this, they undermine compliance. Well, this was a study, June 2021, study by the University of Kent in the UK, and they found that the concept of having vaccine passports actually promoted noncompliance and getting vaccinated. Yep, when governments around the globe kind of rolled out that concept of enforcing a vaccine passport in order to function in society, the general consensus was negative. Here's a quote from the Journal of Applied Social Psychology, June 2021. They say, researchers have found that when people are presented with the idea of a COVID-19 immunity passport, they show less willingness to follow social distancing, face coverings, and other pandemic guidelines. Well, okay. Let's see, and this is by Ricky Green, University of Kent, researcher there. He says people were questioning the need for the vaccine passport when natural immunity was present. Those who recovered from COVID had natural immunity and felt no need for a vaccine passport. End of quote. Well, it's rational thinking, I think. So for over 50 years, science has been telling the public that if you get sick and recover, you now have natural immunity to that disease. That the immune system remembers diseases and keeps the antibodies for future use and will adapt them to protect against similar pathogens. However, since COVID-19, the scientific community is backpedaling on this concept that was previously a scientific fact. Well, these are population control studies that are also in the mix here. This is the University of Kentucky. This is still the University of Kent. And their study with some other studies that they have done looking at the reactions of the population in order to nail down their program with the least amount of resistance for future events and to have unlimited control over the global population. So this is a study in trial. We're all kind of being studied here. Here's Ricky Green again. He says, this research suggests that early public announcements surrounding immunity passports without perfecting them with cautious information about unclear evidence on COVID-19 immunity has undermined the efforts to promote a virus mitigating mitigating behavior. So they wanted you to have what is called a virus mitigating behavior to, you know, stop the virus, go get vaccinated, wear your masks and all that stuff. So they blundered it a bit is the point. So once they perfect their rollout of pandemics and the information that's controlled about them and immunity, and all that gets circulated, then they can use this scenario on just about any plight they want to launch. And now some experts have already warned that this approach is going to be used with that touchy global warming agenda. So instead of making your community sick, the pressure and guilt will be on making you're making your environment sick. And when the earth is sick, one reporter stated, there's this atlas of human suffering. So you're responsible for global sickness at that point. Here's a quote from, this is Inger Anderson, UN Environmental Program. It isn't only humans bearing the brunt of pandemics, but nature too. End of quote. So you got this strategic compliance thing going on. Forbes reported on how far along the U.S. is in initiating the vaccine passport. So they found that 21 states in the United States have started the process of what is called the Smart Health Card. Have you heard about that, Frank? The Smart Health Card. And each state is set up, well, they set up their own portal for the passport, but they're all going to be linked eventually. So at this writing, the state health departments are offering this as an option, and it's not mandatory issuance yet. So they're encouraging you to go get yours. Now, if you have smartphones, you can get a digital one, passport. If you don't, then you get a printed one. So the states that have smart health cards, vaccine passports, if you will, now all set up for you to ask for, are New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Delaware, Hawaii, Maryland, Virginia, Mississippi, Louisiana, Illinois, Minnesota, North Dakota, New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, Utah, Nevada, California, Puerto Rico, and Washington State. Now, the states working on their future vaccine passport portals are Oregon, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and West Virginia. Now, if you are on the newsletter list for either HealthQuest or American Survival, you're going to get a passport map of the United States, which states are already doing this and what's not, so you can have a little snapshot where you're at. This map was provided by Forbes and DataWrapper. So if you're on the newsletter list, you're going to see this nice little handy map that you can look at. If you want to sign up for those newsletters, you just go to thepowerherbs.com, click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up for free. So getting back to our passport topic here. So at this time, United States health officials are kind of downplaying the smart health card as simply a COVID card or as part of the patient's record that anyone can request for themselves at pharmacies or places that offer them. What'd you say, Frank? The first thing Stalin did was create original passport, regional passports for limit travel. Yeah. Yeah, well, they're going along with that whole, you know, scenario. It's kind of repeating history. So the places that are now offering smart health card, these are the smart health card providers, are Walmart, Sam's Club, CVS Health, Rite Aid, Express Scripts, and Walgreens. So you can just go on in there and request your smart health card, which is going to be your passport. So, you know, make no mistake, this is not just a traditional card, it's a portal platform. And also, this is not a U.S. program, this is a global program. Okay, it's not just the United States. Every Canadian province has adopted the smart health card, as well as Aruba, Cayman Islands, Singapore, Japan, Africa, which includes Kenya and Rwanda. 32 African countries are in alliance with the smart health card right now. So all your healthcare records are going to wind up on this thing eventually, not just your vaccine compliance. And they're saying this is to make things more secure. We're also being told this is to rebuild our trust in healthcare. And what do you want to bet that the smart health card is going to be linked to the Gates Foundation's Trust Score software, which will link your healthcare compliance for access to your financial sectors? Now, I also find it really interesting that the smart health card is a digital certificate showing proof of vaccination and was developed by the Vaccination Credential Initiative. So this is a digital credential proving the individual complied with some healthcare initiative. So the definition of a credential is a document that details qualifying compliance or authority that is issued by a third party to a competent individual. So this portal program will be marking who is trustworthy and competent. So at present, there is no charge for an individual using the Vaccination Credential Initiative's smart health card. There's no charge for this. And I'm going to show you why there's no charge. Who's on the board? Yep. The Vaccination Credential Initiative is an organization, and there are several entities with deep pockets involved in it. Let me just give you a few. I mean, there's almost 100, but here's a few. Mayo Clinic, Maitree Corp, Microsoft, the Commons Project Foundation, which is actually headed up by a former employee of the Bill Gates Foundation. Also, Evernorth, also Bill Gates is on that, and Karen Alliance, U.S. San Diego Health, and Apple, all involved with your Vaccination Credential Initiative. Let me read you this quote by Big County News, January 2021. They stated, "What you have is a coalition of big technology and healthcare companies, including Microsoft and Salesforce, pushing the COVID vaccination passports by forming a group called the Vaccine Credential Initiative." End of quote. You know, it's all just a certain, you know, circle of people that are involved in all these things that we're seeing being pushed around. So, you know, they're making preparations, you know, while the global powers are making their plans to reshape society and the world, we can have our own plans to protect ourselves from pandemic fears and medical tyranny. Make some if you don't have any. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a catalog that features immune-boosting herbs, toxin-removal herbs, metabolic-strengthening herbs. You're going to be surprised at how powerful you're going to be with professional strength formulas like that. You're going to be amazed what you can do. You can do what the white coats can't. You can get rid of the COVID cough. You can get rid of sleep apnea. You can get off medications. You can be independent and strong metabolically.
Wow.
New concept. Anyway, call Apothecary Herbs. They got a toll-free number at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., you dial 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972. Of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because you're taking the power back, you see. And that's where your healthcare options just became endless. You're taking responsibility. And you know what you're also doing? You're trusting in God, where he said, herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. You're working hand in hand with the Creator in wellness. What a concept is that, really? Awesome. By the way, they're having a spring sale at Apothecary Herbs. Major sale. You can save 30% on orders of $65 or more. You want to use the coupon code when you check out, either over the phone or on the website, or write this on your order form if you're mailing in an order. Polka dots. That's the coupon code. Polka dots. And you want to hurry, because this is while supplies last, and the sale will end on the 27th of March. So it runs through almost the entire month. But this is the opportune moment, you know, an opportunity knocks to save and stock up while things are still being shipped, right? Okay, getting that word out there. So if you're on the website, you know, like I said, sign up for the newsletters. They go out each week. Oh, by the way, another announcement. The folks at Apothecary Herbs that send out the newsletters, they are switching mail server programmers, and so they're asking for your patience while they convert everything over to the new service, so that you may see a little bit of disruption in mail delivery on these newsletters, so you may not get them for a week, possibly, and so just be aware that's what's going on. Doesn't mean you've been taken off the list at all, that it you didn't get the newsletter for some odd reason. It's just that they've been transitioning to a new mail server. So thepowerherbs.com, you can sign up under books and newsletters for the newsletters there, the American Survival and Health Quest. So descriptions on both are there. But you have to have email to get the newsletters. They are not distributed by traditional snail mail. Sorry about that. Only email, so you have to sign up online. All right. While you're on there, you know, request that free catalog. Get that over to you right away. You can download it digitally, or you can ask for one to be mailed to you. So when you check out, you'll get an email with a download link if you want to download it. Okay. So thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. So the news has kept us all busy and concerned, I know. And people are, I hope they're not losing a lot of sleep, but God's in control, and stay close to the Lord, and he'll protect you, you know, he'll be your shield and buckler, he promises that. And in the meantime, we do our due diligence, that's what we do, right, Frank? Yep, that's all we can do. All right, we've got a few minutes, we're going to take a little break in a few minutes, but I'm going to kind of sneak in a little announcement here on this bladder drug that can put your eye health at risk. This was research in the medical journals. This was, let me see. It's a widely used bladder drug called penistatin polysulfate sodium. And its drug name is Elmeron. And it's usually prescribed for bladder pain, usually with interstitial cystitis, which is urinary tract infections. But the drug is pretty toxic and can damage the retina of the eye. Now, this is the thing that I learned reading some medical journals back in the 1930s. Doctors were telling their patients, if you want to improve vision health or if you want to improve kidney health, you got to work on kidneys and eyes at the same time. They're linked. And one of the reasons they're linked is a lot of toxins or debris, gunk, if you will, that the body purges out of the eye will wind up going through the kidney to leave the body through the elimination channel. So the kidneys better be healthy in order to handle that. So A drug, though, that this is a report that Kaiser Permanente was putting out on this drug. A lot of people, a quarter of the people that take this drug show signs of eye damage. They have toxic levels of the drugs in their eye. Wow. And this is a very, very widely used medication. It's very common to be using this drug. Doctors prescribe it all the time. And this data on this drug got presented at the 2019 annual meeting of the American Academy of Ophthalmology. But you know what? When I go to the eye doctor, I never have my eye doctor ask me, do you take this drug for urinary tract infections, or have you ever taken this drug? Be careful, because you can really risk your retina. I've never been asked that. So, and that's a Journal of Ophthalmology, which you would think your eye doctors would read. See? Now, in the United States, about 1 million people have urinary tract infections, and they're pretty much prescribed this drug. Vision changes can take up to 15 years to occur, though, so people aren't making that connection. And there appears to be an unusual change to the macular, which is the central part of the retina that supposedly delivers this clear, crisp central vision. So, you know, maybe a drug you're on and you may not have cataracts. You may not have age-related central cataracts. It may be the drug you're on. So most physicians, you know, won't make this connection because eye doctors really don't see patients and their medical records. They don't normally ask you, you know, about urinary tract infections, see. So the vision changes also can be very subtle and offer a pattern of abnormalities they haven't seen before. According to Robin Vora, a medical doctor at Kaiser, the medication can cause retinal dystrophy, and also they studied 4.3 million patients on this, so they know what they're talking about. 140 patients took the drug that they tested, 5,000 pills over a 15-year period. So people with a lot of recurring UTIs, what in the world are they doing? According to Robin, she says, it is unfortunate to have patients with a chronic condition of UTI with no cure and no real effective treatments. That's what she thinks. They also are continuously put on the drug to ease the pain, and although they have side effects each year, the UTIs get worse and the number of pills they take goes up. End of quote. So there is a natural solution to this, but we got to take a little break. On the other side, I'll tell you what it is. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. Well, let's take the mystery out of UTIs. How's that? You know, there's some natural options here, and your medical doctors aren't aware of them. Certain herbs can clear urinary tract infection very quickly, and usually it won't come back. So you want to watch also the lifestyle and things that contribute to UTIs, like a lot of sugary sodas, lots of carbohydrates. You want to watch that kind of thing. So a nice cleanse to have on hand if you tend to be prone to those. If I were you, I would get the kidney bladder cleanse kit that the folks at Apothecary Herbs have. So you got some lovely herbs in there, basically something that the body does respond to pretty quickly. You'll find all this in their wonderful Power Herbs, Apothecary Herbs catalog if you want to pick one up, and they're free. So you can find out more about these cleanses there, but they do have this kit, and you're going to have things like corn silk, dandelion root, parsley leaf, juniper berries, uvivrisi leaf, pipsqua leaf, horsetail herb, burdock root, golden flower, marshmallow root, lobelia, ginger, golden seal, a lot of good things for infection and cleansing that urinary tract. Also the fine filters of the kidney and bladder wall. So you want to just do the full sweep and be done with it. Now, it used to be juniper berries, Frank, would just clear UTI pretty quickly. But with these more resistant type of pathogens people are getting, you're having to use a little bit deeper concentration of a combination herb formula. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs if you're interested in that kidney bladder cleanse kit. And you can save 30% during their spring sale. So their number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or just visit them online at thepowerherbs.com and get that taken care of, and you won't be disappointed. That stuff works pretty good, pretty quickly, actually. A couple of days, Frank. just a couple of days. Their kidney stone formula dissolves kidney stones, and that is amazing. You know, if you got big stones, it may take, you know, 4 to 5 days, but if you just got your typical stones, 2 days. Usually the pain lifts in a day, but if you keep taking it for a couple of days to make sure. Amazing stuff. God knows what he's doing chemistry-wise. Whew. That's what we rely on. God's good herbs. They're here for the service of man and healing the nation. God can't lie. Nope. He gets all the credit every day, all the time, Frank. All right. Frank was saying garlic. Garlic can help, too. Garlic man Frank over there. Yes. Yes, garlic's very good for broad-spectrum infection. Absolutely great stuff. So if you got garlic, I wouldn't be afraid of tapping that garlic. It's awesome. That's what Frank does. He's a garlic man over there. Is there any other herbs if you ever use, though, Frank, besides the garlic? I mean, I hear you use garlic a lot. Bragg's apple cider vinegar, you've mentioned that. But what else are you using, typically? Using any cardio herbs or, I don't know, prostate herbs, anything like that? Guys typically, I don't know, they're more receptive, I think, to the natural therapeutics than having to go to the doctor and get probed and prodded and have to talk about it. They're like, what do you got? Cayenne. Oh, and oregano, oil of oregano. Good job. Yeah, I like those too. Cayenne, you know, cayenne, there was this one herbalist in the colonies, American colonies, Culpepper. He cured like a million colonists just with two herbs, lobelia and cayenne. Lobelia can work like a diuretic, an antispasmodic, or a decongestant. So it's got some really great action. And the cayenne is a circulatory aid, moves fluids, moves mucus out of the body, moves the blood around. So he was curing a bunch of people just with two herbs. What do you think of that? What an arsenal, right? All right, so we got some time. So we're talking about the population, what they believe in now with regard to prescription medicine. You got some, you know, diehard folks, you know, that are in their 70s and 80s. You know, they grew up with, you know, you trust your medical doctor, he's your friend kind of thing. And they kind of still think that way. And Frank is saying, and I use your Echinacea Deluxe. Oh, the Echinacea. Yeah, the Echinacea Deluxe, excellent sinus upper head cold formula. Love that stuff. You know what I do when I've got the flu? I'll make some chicken noodle soup with garlic. I'll throw a bunch of minced garlic in my chicken noodle soup. And then I'll let it cool a little bit. And then I'll throw in a dropper full of that Echinacea Deluxe. And boy, does that just give me energy. You know, with the flu, you feel sluggish and tired and achy. Boy, does that pep you up. It's amazing. You know, that's the only time I put it in anything other than cold or room temperature liquids. That's the only time. You know, I'll just stick it in my chicken noodle soup. You use Golden Seal also? Yeah, Golden Seal is great for infections, bacterial things. So Golden Seal is awesome. I like to use it topically too, on wounds as well as internally. And it's expensive, Frank. They have over-harvested Golden Seal and tends to be kind of expensive. Some other herbs they've over-harvested, too, like American ginseng. Oh, my word. Over $100 a pound. It's like $140 a pound. Amazing. Well, let's just talk about this. What does the population now believe in with regards to prescription drugs? Because modern medicine has been, you know, taking notes and has learned that more people are more likely to try therapies, natural therapies that prevent diseases. They want to prevent diseases. They don't want to get the disease and then be treated. They want to prevent it. Therefore, a lot of scientific medicine has invested in more preventative therapies of their own, which include drugs and surgery, of course. So let's say you got a family tree that people have had, you know, congestive heart failure. And so now they're going to put you on congestive heart failure drugs to prevent it. No, it used to be your doctor couldn't put you on any medicine if you had no disease, but they're kind of waiving that whole thing now, along with that whole scientific fact about your immune system keeps your antibodies and remembers diseases thing. Yeah, they go and change the rules to suit their agenda. So people are saying, I want something to prevent. I don't want to get sick. And you may have seen some news reports where they performed mastectomies as a prevention method for people with certain types of genes that may promote breast cancer. And this is insane. When you have a lot of successful natural herbal medicines that can help prevent a lot of this without the risk of having to have toxic drugs or surgery. So computer programs also now being used by modern medicine. The technology in medicine is great. And they're determining if an individual has a level of risk to future diseases. And an example is if the computer indicates a risk of heart disease, and then your physicians are permitted to prescribe heart drugs prior to the condition being evident, which is insane because chemist Sean Ellison, who was on the show, he's the author of Over the Counter Natural Cures, great book, you should get that. He used to work for the drug companies making drugs, and he'll tell you long-term use, which is like 10 years of these heart drugs, gives you congestive heart failure, makes the whole cardio system collapse. So they're going to give you heart drugs to prevent heart disease of the future, but they'll actually give it to you, see? So today, physicians are given extreme leeway on drug therapies, and medicine has defined drug treatment is the treatment of disease and not for an illness, even if there's an illness not evident. So we can't help but think of vaccines falling into this category of future diseases too, which, you know, vaccines have really no peer review, double-blind studies. They don't prove that they're effective in preventing anything. What'd you say, Frank? Are these the same computer models that told us 2 weeks ago flatten the curve? or 2 years ago flatten the curve? Yeah. I don't know if it's the same computer models, but I don't know if I trust artificial intelligence or, you know, anybody that's programming this stuff. Here's a quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, April 2021. They say the treatment of chronic illness commonly includes the long-term use of pharmacotherapy. So long-term use of drugs. We're going to put you on drugs for life. That's their treatment of chronic illness. That's how they treat it. But there's a lot of ethical issues here. The National Center for Biotechnology is saying that there are profound ethical issues with regard to prescribing and using these drugs. And they mention external influences that drive this area, like politics, community interests, cultural beliefs. So they discuss how important it is to have relevant and true research as the foundation for ethical treatment. The National Center for Biotechnology, April 13, 2016, said this, "The virtue of case studies is the context which is critical to answer the empirical question that ethical issues rely on." Yep. What did you say, Frank? They have to actually have ethics before they can have issues. Yes, I know. Well, and, you know, they got rid of the Hippocratic Oath. They said it was old-fashioned and outdated. Well, the Hippocratic Oath primarily said the physician took an oath to first to do no harm. I don't see how that could ever be outdated and old-fashioned. But let's look at the socialized medicine because, you know, that's also a problem. A lot of countries have that socialized healthcare system where your drug treatments are supposedly free. But the public is not embracing drugs to prevent this computer-predicted illness. Oh, that's a problem for them. For instance, in the UK, women are not going to take toxic drugs to prevent breast cancer they don't already have. So these women were enticed to do this study, saying, hey, we got a study to prevent breast cancer. So all it was here, take these drugs for breast cancer to prevent it, but they didn't have breast cancer yet. And the women go, what? What? I'm not doing that. So in December 2018, the Cancer Research Center at the University of Leeds in the UK did a study, and it got published in the Journal of Clinical Breast Cancer. Only one-fifth of the healthy women would take the tamoxifen drug to prevent the likelihood of future breast cancer. In reality, only 15% actually took the treatment. Approximately 72% of the women said they would not take such a drug for a disease they didn't have yet, and they were concerned about the long-term use of this drug, and 57% said the drug side effects were worrisome. So they asked over 400 healthy women who would medicate themselves, and they felt that this was not what they wanted to do, even though they were being told that someday they could be in a high-risk breast cancer situation. They wanted them to partake of this drug prevention treatment. The women that were surveyed, and they reported that 29% that said the doctors prescribed too many drugs, 35% said drugs said doctors don't spend enough time with their patients in order to enable them to prescribe fewer drugs. 24% said they had experienced bad reactions to medications. 24% felt long-term drug therapy is not good for people. 23% said that they had sensitivities to medications. 17% said that natural therapies were safer than drugs. And this was Dr. Samuel Smith, University of Leeds. He said, women in our study were rightfully considering the potential harms and also benefits of using preventative drug therapy. Some benefits about the use of these drugs were very negative. Yeah. So the study out of the UK is highlighting the public is now perceiving drugs as a risk and are not asking they're now asking themselves, do I want to take this risk? Do I want to accept this risk the drug gives me? And if you not notice, a lot of these ads for drugs list the side effects, which are somewhat worse than the reason you're taking it. And, you know, people are just saying, you know, I just don't want to have the side effects. It's almost like the drug may get rid of your first initial concern or health complaint, but then it gives you something else. And the something else may be worse. So people are like, I don't think so. Dr. Smith's comment, though, in the research article, that modern medicine must do more to train their healthcare professionals so they can counter the public's fear or concerns about using drugs, especially for non-existent disease and for the use of prevention-type therapies. Must do more. What are they going to do? Lie to their patients? What can they do more? People are like, that's toxic. Look at all the side effects. Why would I want to take that? You know, if you want to do more, train your doctors in nutrition. You know, so they can help their patients look at their lifestyle and evaluate it and say, okay, we're going to cut this out and cut that out and, you know, give it two to four weeks and see how you feel and we can adjust it some more. It takes 2 weeks for a lot of these food proteins that are not good for you to come out of your system. You know, you may be sensitive to stuff. People, you know, are taking stuff that, I know they use the word allergic, but really it's toxic to your system and your body's responding in a negative way. And people just, you know, throw on some antihistamine and keep eating it. Wow. Yeah, it's really interesting that in December 2015, the Cancer Research Center in the UK, along with researchers from Queen Mary University in London, they did this similar study. And in that study, which was published in the Annals of Oncology, that's your cancer research, it involved 21,000 women of all ages who were said to have a high risk of developing breast cancer. The women were offered a 5-year course of drug treatment as a prevention. Only 16% agreed to do the treatment, and most of them only took the drug for 1 year. And Dr. Samuel Smith was part of that research, and it seems that the medicine the medicine has not been able to change the opinion of these women to take the toxic drugs in hopes of preventing the disease they don't have yet. So they weren't successful in selling that. That sales pitch, you know, didn't go over well. Here, take this toxic drug and let's hope you don't get breast cancer. Right? Dr. Smith goes on to say, our research reveals that only a small proportion of eligible women make the decision to have preventative medications, and it's critical to find out why so many choose not to take the drugs or stop taking them before completing the course. It's toxic, doc. He doesn't wrap his brain around toxicity. Oh, I know what it is. He's reading the brochure handout from the drug company on that. He's not doing any independent research on the drug he's recommending to his clients. Exactly right, Frank. Frank says selling snowballs to Eskimos. Yeah, basically that's what they're trying to do. So in a lot of these studies, the researchers used, get this, radiation mammography to check the process of how the women were doing with their treatment. Radiation is known to give you cancer. 10 years of mammograms will give you breast cancer. I've seen it over and over and over again. So what a lot of them are doing, too, is harnessing the power of big data in their push to sell more drugs and surgery. Data collection is used to harness and also produce targets, who they can target for certain drug therapies. The target can be maybe townships trying to reduce electricity use on their streetlights, or the medical establishment and the drug companies increasing their profits. So big data research can go to any sector and give them profiles for using in marketing. So predicting what goes on in healthcare and who are in high-risk patient brackets can be a gold mine to the healthcare establishment. So artificial intelligence is changing our healthcare system. And as the healthcare system becomes even more systemized, it'll be seen as a highly functioning, streamlined mechanism, tracking treatments, medications, costs, risk, outcomes, everything that benefits society and the investor profiters alike. So, you know, it slices, it dices, it waxes your kitchen floor kind of scenario. What did you say, Frank? More inhuman. Yeah, the system is, you know, taking the human angle out of it, and you become a commodity. See, they're even taking doctors out of the picture slowly. Haven't you noticed that? We're going to have a doctor kiosk, you know? It's awful. So the system is being transformed to be run by computers, making a diagnosis and researching your conclusions, and even these virtual visits where you don't even see a doctor. So the healthcare system is going to be run like Amazon. You may have some personalized healthcare treatments, this all melt away as healthcare professionals look to computers to know what to do. So if the computer is going to be doing all the thinking, let's say, humans will be reluctant to challenge artificial intelligence. Where will the checks and balances be at that point? Algorithms are going to predict patient disease, risk, and assign them to preventative drug therapy. And if you don't comply, what's that going to do to your social passport? See where this is going? The age of artificial intelligence healthcare is here. And why switch from human interface to computer interface? Here's a quote that may help us understand. This is Frost and Sullivan, a market research company. They said this in 2017. The market for artificial intelligence in healthcare and the life sciences is projected to grow by 40% a year to 6.6 billion by 2021. Follow the money. That's why. So investments are pouring into this healthcare system from pharmaceutical and technology giants, areas already up and running are going to be diagnosing diseases and early detection. That's what we've been talking about, and predicting diseases. So imagine, like, say, Frank, how frustrating it would be if your artificial intelligence, you know, is saying, oh, Frank, you're going to come down with ALS, you know, in less than 5 years. So, you need to take this and you need to take that. And if you don't comply, it's going to hit your vaccine passport thing. And then, of course, your social score is going to tank and you can't open your bank account. See? So physicians don't seem to be too concerned about this technology at this point, but they should be. Computers have been tested to have a lower error rate compared to a physician. So when they tested against cancer pathologists in determining cancer cells on studies, the computer had a 3.5% error rate and the team of pathologists had a 7.5% error rate. So physicians seem to think that they will work side by side with artificial intelligence and the doctors will have the last word. I don't think so. The investors running her healthcare are going to have the last word. So they're going to get rid of the doctor and his salary and his benefits, and artificial intelligence doesn't have a salary or benefits, doesn't take a day off with sick leave or whatever. I have to remind you that, you know, Amazon is replacing workers with robots. So instead of a hospital announcement paging Dr. Blake to report to emergency, you're going to hear, Dr. Kiosk, please report to emergency. So you've got trained computers that seem to be smarter and faster with a lot of big data in it. So the AI path has improved over time, and it's going to surpass your human expert, is the point. So you're going to be talking to a computer one day, not a doctor. Overworked, sleep-deprived, alcoholic physicians. Oh. Yeah, so, you know, I guess that's another sell point. Your artificial intelligence is not going to be that in those situations, right? Well, I will remind you this. You know, who programs artificial intelligence? That artificial intelligence is only going to run as good as it's been programmed, right, Frank? Of course, if it thinks for itself and evolves, then it's going to take over the world. And then we're all going to be slaves to computer chips, wearable devices, tracked everywhere you go. That's what it does, you know. Well, I tell people, you know, do your due diligence, take control back, because no one's going to, you know, do it for you. And God's given you some powerful tools to do that. It's our job to learn how to use them. The folks at Apothecaribs will help you figure that out. They educate you. And they also offer a professional strength product line to get you started. ThePowerHerbs.com is their web address. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Be empowered. You'll see what I mean. Once you start, you'll never go back. And they have a big sale, 30% off. Details are online, or give them a call at 866-229-3663. I got to go. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.